The following is a high five moment from highfivecasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your high five moment today? Only at highfivecasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
On this episode of Sports Illustrated Weekly, the NBA suspended Suns and Mercury owner Robert Sarver for 1 year and fined him $10 million for workplace misconduct that included racially insensitive language and unequal treatment of women. SI staffer Rohan Nadkarni joins me to discuss the investigation of Sarver, his punishment, and where the NBA goes from here. I'm your host, John Gonzalez. From Sports Illustrated and iHeartRadio, this is Sports Illustrated Weekly.
Phoenix Suns and Mercury owner Robert Sarver has been suspended for 1 year and fined $10 million following an investigation
into Sarver after an ESPN report uncovered a history of racist and sexist comments.
He was disrespectful to his organization. He was disrespectful to women. He was disrespectful to African Americans.
Well, and the full story, the full picture that is painted in this report is certainly damning.
Rohan, welcome back to Sports Illustrated Weekly.
Thank you for having me back on, John. It's been, you know, I wish we could be back on the show together in more auspicious circumstances. I feel like I invite you on my podcast all the time, and yet I think this is my second SI Weekly appearance.
Your triumphant return. We do hear you on Open Floor. I pop on there periodically. This topic, I'm sure that we'll be discussing on the Friday episode of Open Floor, but news broke this week that the NBA had suspended Suns and Mercury owner Robert Sarver for 1 year and fined him $10 million. This is after a months-long independent review. They spoke with 320 people, Rohan. More than 80,000 documents were reviewed. They went back 18 years and found that Sarver, quote, engaged in conduct that clearly violated common workplace standards as reflected in team and league rules and policies. This conduct included the use of racially insensitive language, unequal treatment of female employees, sex-related statements and conduct, and harsh treatment of employees that on occasion constituted bullying. In addition to the suspension and fine, Sarver must now complete a training program focused on respect and appropriate workplace conduct. I think that's probably too little too late there. What's your reaction before we get into the specifics of what he's alleged to do about the terms of his punishment?
I mean, I think like everybody else, I'm just completely shocked the NBA dropped the ball on this. It's completely insignificant. Mm-hmm. The idea that he can sit there, quote unquote, be suspended, continue to make profits off the Suns this season. It's a joke, really, John. When we first had an inkling that the news was coming, the length of the investigation led me to believe that they were being really thorough. In the event that they needed to ban him, they needed to have all the evidence at their disposal. And it seems like they have plenty of smoking guns here. I think the NBA's punishment was a joke. I think their statement was a joke. I know we're going to get into the incident specifically here, but in this statement alone, it says we don't believe these statements were racially motivated, something along those lines. It's just pathetic. I don't know how the NBA drew the conclusions they drew from the investigation that they conducted.
Here's just a partial list of stuff that he said or did around women and even male employees. Told a pregnant woman, you can't really have the same kind of career you're going to have because, you know, your child needs a mother. We're going to have to take you off this event. Talked about sex acts. Talked about condoms. Talked about the size of his own penis. Made comments about the physical appearance of female staffers, including the Suns dancers. Dropped his pants and his underwear while a physical trainer was performing a fitness examination on him. And the report concluded that he did none of that out of racial or gender-based animus.
I'm really shocked by this too, because they have a preponderance of evidence and then they land on a one-year suspension and a $10 million fine, which obviously inequitable. Among the key findings, on at least five occasions, Sarver used the N-word. Sarver engaged in instances of inequitable conduct towards female employees, made many sex-related comments in the workplace, and made inappropriate comments about the physical appearance of female employees and other women. On several occasions, he engaged in inappropriate physical conduct toward male employees, and he engaged in demeaning and harsh treatment of employees, included by yelling and cursing at them. That's a lot. And then somehow they land on a one-year suspension. And like, you know, the NBA fancies itself, Rohan, as this really progressive institution that's supposed to be tolerant, at least relative to other sports entities. And yet, when it comes to meting out punishment or standing up to ownership specifically, it fails consistently. And this is a really gross violation of it. I mean, I think it's so stark too, because part of the reason that Adam Silver gained, let's call it notoriety or favor among sports fans, was when he came in, how he handled the Donald Sterling situation. And this feels like the exact opposite of that.
That's really kind of the elephant in the room, is what has changed or what has made this different than the Donald Sterling situation. And I think that is something that's going to be reported on and discussed in the coming months, because it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. That was very early in his tenure as commissioner. That was, if you think about it, before we've really had a cultural moment that involved consequences for people, right? I mean, you know, I remember after the George Floyd murder, where it seemed like corporations were being held to some kind of different standard and it being, people were feeling forced to change a little bit. And it was all very awkward and clunky and uncomfortable and kind of revealing of how these things are not really about doing what's right. It's about kind of following the money or public pressure, etc. Adam Silver was ahead of all that with Donald Sterling.
Effective immediately, I am banning Mr. Sterling for life from any association with the Clippers organization or the NBA.
And now it just feels like we're kind of reverting back to an even worse time. I mean, the fact that he could only get a one-year suspension and a $10 million fine, I don't know if there's some kind of legal analysis that needs to be done here, and there's something that's protecting Robert Sarver, or maybe he even knows something that's protecting him, but it's very strange in kind of this time where people are at least pretending to have a heightened sensitivity, whether they have it or not, that the NBA is whiffing so hard here. If you think about it, John, let's say this news came out about Adam Silver. Let's say we found out, hypothetically, of course, Adam Silver had used the N-word five times. Adam Silver's emailing porn to people, etc. There is not a chance that Adam Silver keeps his job in that situation. There's not a chance anybody at any other level of the NBA keeps their job if they're doing the things that the NBA found out Robert Sarver was doing. So the fact that he's able to continue to own the team, it just doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't. And you hit on something there earlier about consequences and how it felt like we'd reached a point, especially with Donald Sterling, where there would be consequences for actions that were this egregious, especially for privileged white rich men who previously didn't have to face those consequences. And now it feels like we're going in the other direction. I want to get into some of these specifics here because they are really over the top. 100 individuals, Rohan, 100 witness Sarver statements or actions that were deemed inappropriate. Of the 5 times Sarver repeatedly used the N-word, 4 came after he was told by black and white employees to stop doing it and that he shouldn't do it even when he's just repeating somebody. He told a female employee that women cry too much. 12 witnesses recall Sarver making a reference at an all-employee meeting to a specific sex act. 19 witnesses recall him talking about a specific type of condom. There is even more graphic stuff about him walking into a room naked and telling a male and a female employee who were in the room at the time that the woman should leave the room because she had never seen anything like that before. And on and on and on. Donald Sterling was rightly pushed out for things that were not dissimilar to this. Now, there was a tape, so maybe that went a certain distance toward pushing him out. But it absolutely floors me that Robert Sarver, ostensibly, unless they decide to push him out during this 1-year suspension, will be able to return to business as usual in 1 year's time. And let's not forget that he presided over a culture of this stuff going back 18 years. This investigation found that other misconduct, racial insensitivity, mistreatment of female employees, inappropriate comments on sex or sexual orientation spanned almost 2 decades. And for that 2 decades of conduct, he gets 1 year off. I don't understand how that makes any sense to anyone, anywhere.
It's really, really baffling.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Yippee, would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Woo!
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
Hey everyone, this is Molly and Matt, and we're the hosts of Grown Up Stuff How to Adult, a podcast from Ruby Studio and iHeart Podcasts.
It's a show dedicated to helping you figure out the trickiest parts of adulting.
Like how to start planning for retirement, creating a healthy skincare routine, understanding when and how much to tip someone, and so much more.
We're back with season 2 of the podcast, which means more opportunities to glow up and become a more responsible and better adult, one life lesson at a time.
And let me just tell you, this show is just as much for us as it is for you. So let's figure this stuff out together. This season, we're going to talk about whether or not we're financially and emotionally ready for dog ownership.
We're going to figure out the benefits of a high-yield savings account.
And what exactly are the duties of being a member of the wedding party?
All that plus so much more.
Let's learn about all of it and then some. Listen to Grown Up Stuff How to Adult on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Grown Up Stuff.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know, I wish I'd pulled it up before we'd recorded, but I'm sure, I promise you, the Suns, again, there was that era, and I know it's kind of an uncomfortable flashpoint to bring up, but there was that time, and there was no NBA going on. It was before the bubble. You know, there's protests in the street every day.
No justice!
No peace!
No racism!
Police!
No justice!
No peace!
No racism!
Police!
Every single NBA team, I think literally every single one except the Knicks, who maybe did it last, every single NBA team released a statement, oh, we condemn racism in all its forms, we stand against racism, blah, blah, blah. And now you're just seeing how empty all those things are. And I think the NBA has to accept that whatever gestures they make are going to feel empty now. You know, whatever gestures they make, corporate decisions that they make that say, hey, you know, we really want women involved in our game. You know, the NBA really wants a woman to be a head coach of an NBA team. What woman would ever be the head coach of the Phoenix Suns? Listening to some of these comments Robert Sarver would make. Again, it's a weird situation. They're one of the few teams that has a black GM and a black coach. But how do they feel seeing these statements, knowing Robert Sarver is saying things like this all the time? I do think there's a degree that, frankly, I think people in and around the league, in and around society, are used to people of Robert Sarver's stature acting this way and getting away with it. I think that's part of the problem here, is we've kind of created an environment where people with that much money can live without consequences. But this was an opportunity for the NBA to begin to change that paradigm even a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite clear that the hypocrisy has been laid bare, not just in this instance, but previously. At my last job, I did a story where I dug through FEC records over 5 years to look at the political donations of NBA owners. And this was during the Black Lives Matter protests, the George Floyd murder protests. And you have Black Lives Matter on the court. And you have, as you mentioned, all teams issuing statements and saying that they want to stop hate and they stand with the players. But they have repeatedly shown through their actions that they do not, because you can say, oh, we stand with the players and we want policing reform and we want social justice and we want racial equality. But you have, say, owners, the predominant number of owners in the NBA donating to a Republican Party heavy amounts of money that enforce or put into place policies that are in direct conflict with what they're saying. For example, the Orlando Magic issued a statement as well after George Floyd. And then a couple weeks later, the DeVos family donated $200,000 to the Republican Party and Trump, which is a group that was directly fighting the George Floyd Justice and Policing Act that was put forth by Karen Bass that got stalled in the Senate. So you can say, oh, we want to stop hate. We've got Black Lives Matter on the court. But the actual policies that you're supporting are in direct contrast and conflict with what you're saying. So the lip service is really ridiculous here, and we're seeing it again. I want to bring up the money component here because I think it's important. The NBA says it will donate his fine to organizations that are dedicated to addressing race and gender-based issues in and out of the workplace. Here again, pretty gross lip service, because that's the maximum amount permitted by the NBA Constitution and bylaws. And it sounds like a lot, right? Except the team is worth $1.8 billion. Various reports peg Sarver's net worth at $800 million. This season alone, Jay Crowder, Mikal Bridges, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton, and Devin Booker will all make more than $10 million. And Landry Shamet and Dario Saric will make almost $10 million. My whole point here is that Sarver can afford this, right? This doesn't hurt him in any meaningful way. Sitting out a year does not hurt him in any meaningful way. And on top of that, according to Woj and Baxter Holmes of ESPN, Sarver may have cooperated with the investigation, but he was, quote, unaccepting of the idea that he deserved a one-year suspension and a $10 million fine. So not only are these punishments insufficient, not only are these punishments not painful to him in any meaningful way, it doesn't look like it's registered at all. He doesn't think that he deserved any of this.
He's long been known as kind of one of the worst owners in the league. I mean, that's just due in large part to the way he's run his team, which has often been cheap. Of course, there was the famous Kevin Arnovitz story that he once let a goat defecate in his general manager's office.
Yep.
Just clearly out of touch with reality.
I know multiple former Phoenix Suns players. None of this surprised any of them. When the story came out from Baxter Holmes, it was like, oh yeah, that sounds about right. They didn't get everything in the report. They just got what people were willing to tell them, because I know that there was so much more.
Obviously, the NBA is not who we should be looking to ultimately to solve these kind of great, bigger societal issues. I think that they bear some responsibility, especially because they've kind of thrown themselves into this public arena and tried to position themselves as a league that is kind of on the forefront of these issues, that cares about things like social justice, racial inequality, et cetera. But that just makes it all the more shocking to me that, you know, you talk to people and they say, well, couldn't you find out stuff like this about any owner or any of these workplaces, some kind of utopia? Maybe not. But when you're kind of given a softball like this one, like a meatball right over the heart of the plate, given all this evidence, so many past workers willing to speak out, you're just given such an easy opportunity to get rid of the guy that it sounds silly, but it really does make you almost want to put your conspiracy hat on. Like, what's going on here that they can't get rid of this guy when they have all this evidence that he's a terrible person? And I can't stress enough that if any other person at any other level of the NBA has done half the things Robert Sarver is accused of, there's no way they're keeping their job. And holding your owners to above consequence, I think, is a terrible precedent to set.
Yeah, not surprisingly, as I mentioned, ESPN reported that the punitive part of the process became largely acrimonious with the Sarver pushing back. Quite clearly, when you're an NBA owner, unless you're Donald Sterling, you know, you can get away with a lot of these things. Although I wonder, where do you think this ends up? Because Al Sharpton and various organizations weighed in on this and were really up in arms about this being insufficient. Do you think over the next year that behind the scenes they are pushing him to sell? Or do you anticipate that in a year's time, Robert Sarver, despite having done all of this that we outlined over the last almost two decades, this isn't just like limited, isolated behavior, but a pattern over two decades, do you think we'll see him back in the NBA?
I don't have a lot of faith that he's going to be pushed out, only because, as you mentioned, one, he's really stubborn. He didn't want to accept this punishment. He didn't want to accept the fine. I'm sure he would welcome a legal fight at this point. Also, the fact that, again, they had all this evidence, didn't try to kick him out right away, I do think there's going to be a lot of public pressure. And I don't think that this is going to go away. You know, whenever Adam Silver's next media availability is, for example, he's going to be asked a lot of questions about this.
I think everybody in this room would agree that if any of us had said or done even a small percentage of the things that Robert Sarver has been shown to have said and done, we would be fired. Why should there be a different standard for the owner of an NBA team than there would be for everybody who works in this league?
Fair question. I'd only say there are particular rights here of someone who owns an NBA team as opposed to somebody who's an employee.
I don't have a lot of faith that he's going to be pushed out, but I do think that the public pressure will continue to mount. I mean, you have former Suns employees tweeting about how upset they were at how long the process was. The NBA made them relive all these traumas, dragged them through all these interviews. I mean, this investigation took many, many months. I think those people aren't going to just remain quiet now and kind of wipe their hands and say, oh, well, he's been suspended for only 1 year. So I do think there'll be hopefully more stories, hopefully more public pressure, because I don't think the NBA should just be able to kind of wipe their hands clean of this.
Yeah, well, and I don't think they'll be able to. As you mentioned, this is a topic that is not going away. A lot of people like us will be asking the NBA and Adam Silver about this, certainly over the next year. Listen to him on Open Floor. Read him on SI.com. Rohan Nagkarni, thank you for this.
Anytime, John.
Sports Illustrated Weekly is a production of Sports Illustrated and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite shows. And for more of Sports Illustrated's best stories and podcasts, visit SI.com. This episode of Sports Illustrated Weekly was produced by Jordan Rizzieri, Jessica Yarmosky, and Isaac Lee, who is also our sound engineer. Our senior producers are Dan Bloom and Harry Swartout. Our executive producers are Scott Brody and me, John Gonzalez. Our theme song is by Nolan Schneider.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
I won! Yahoo!
Private, put down your phone. This is the army.
Sarge, High Five Casino is a social casino. It's on your phone. Goes wherever you go. I win free spins, cash, prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. I won again.
Platoon, present cell phone. High Five.
High Five.
Casino.
Casino.
Win at High Five Casino.
.com. High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Calling all men. When was the last time you had a really good cry? A recent survey found that women cry on average 5 times a month, while men cry on average only once a month. Studies have shown that crying can support your mental, your physical, and your emotional health. I'm Radhi Devlukia, and on my podcast, A Really Good Cry, we embrace the real, the messy, and the beautiful. Listen to A Really Good Cry on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.